sixth grade. Go ahead and let them be dismissed at this time. All right. Let me pray for us. Lord, it's wonderful to be in your house, to be here at Christ Community Church, be able to open your word and just read from it, preach from it, teach from it. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak through me. I want to lift up our pastor, Big John, as he's losing his voice or recovering or however you look at that, Lord. We want him to get better, so I pray that he will not lose his voice anymore, will gain his strength to where he can preach next Sunday. And Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity for me to be able to preach. And I just pray that I glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. In verse 1, Matthew 21, verse 1. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, when Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Wonderful story. I get this picture of Jesus coming in and people worshiping him and shouting and screaming and praising. I want us to talk about this morning about praise to the King. Praise to the King. I want to tell you about a gentleman named Brett Cohen. Anybody heard of him? No? He had 15 minutes of fame. He had 15 minutes of fame in New York City. He hired bodyguards and paparazzi and all these people to come and tag alongside of him and shout his name and ask for his autograph. And he, for 3 hours, took pictures with strangers in New York City. And for 3 hours, over 3 hours, people thought that he was somebody famous. Interesting story, isn't it? When I read that, I thought, wow, you know, our society is... Here's a person pretending. They want to be famous so bad they're pretending. They want to be something, and they have to pretend. They have to fake it. They have to pay for it. But I got to thinking about my Jesus. And you know what I always remind myself about my wonderful King of Kings? He doesn't pretend. He doesn't fake it. He doesn't have to pay anybody. He is just King. He is just Lord of Lords, Son of God, Holy of Holies, Wonderful Counselor. He is King. What he says is true. He is truth. A person of Jesus, he is truth. You look upon him as truth, completely true. And I want us to look at this scripture and think about, I want to remind you why Jesus is King this morning. He doesn't pretend. He is King. I want to remind you why. Number one is this. He has all authority. In the scripture there in chapter 21, he just simply says, go. He says, go. In verse 2 there, he says, go into the village, go. He says, find, loosen, untie. He says, bring. He just says, do it. I think about in John, his first miracle there, Mary said, look, whatever he says, you just do it, because he is king, he is Lord, he's going to do it. Whatever he says, you do it. But also I think about when you look at Luke 19:37, it's the same story, but within that story there, they actually praise him for the miracles they had seen. It's a little more specific in that they're laying the palms out and they praise him for the miracles that they had seen that he had done. I think about Mark chapters 1 through 5, where Jesus claimed all authority by rebuking unclean spirits. He healed those that were sick. He cast out demons. He cleansed those with leprosy. He took a man with a withered hand and made it new again. He walked on water. He made the blind to see. See, he has all authority over nature, all authority over my life. He has authority over everything because he is king. Does he have authority in your life this morning? Have you made him king of your life? I think about this too. The donkey had never been ridden. It had been set apart for the King of Kings, for him to ride upon it. No one would ever ride that donkey again. Jesus claimed it. That was his donkey. The king rode on the donkey that had never been ridden before. Jesus claimed that with authority. Number two is this, reminder that he's king, he has all authority, but he also fulfilled all scripture, all prophecies in scripture. I knocked over my water there, excuse me. Verse 4, I'd kick something. Chapter 21, verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey. All this was done that it might fulfill, which was spoken by the prophet. See, Jesus, it was prophesied that he'd be born in Bethlehem. That happened. It was prophesied that he would die on a cross. That happened. Everything that was spoken about Jesus, hundreds and hundreds of prophecies, all were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Everything. He didn't miss a one. I mean, the statistics on that are, you know, a million and one that would happen. And of course, all statistics are made up on the spot at, you know, it's 92% too, right? But I mean, I know this, that it is not possible for that to happen unless what? He's king. He's Jesus. He is who he says he is. And it happened. All scripture proved that he fulfilled all scripture. He is Savior. The word Hosanna. We sang that song, beautiful song, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I asked them to see if they could work that out, and man, they knocked it out of the park just worshiping. I was back there singing with them and just lifting it. And what does that word mean? It means a lot of things. And, excuse me, I'm going to pick this up. It means Savior, but it also means save us, means help us, means rescue us. It's a wonderful word for our Jesus. That we sing praises to him of all the things that he has done for us. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says this, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in him in whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. There's so much in that text. I don't have time to preach all of that. My goodness, it would take all day. But giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. I want to tell you about a gentleman named Eric Mulonga. I know that's a word, isn't it? His nickname is Eric the Eel, E-E-L. He got that nickname because in the 2000 Olympics, no one would have ever thought that he would win even one swimming event. He was predicted to finish last on everything. I want to tell you what happened. His time was more than twice that of his fastest competitors. He did the 100-meter swim And outside, even the 200-meter world record, that's how slow his time was. But I want to tell you this. He won that event. You say, how in the world is that possible? How could he have won that event? You can look it up on YouTube. There's one guy, and he's swimming all by himself. Everybody else had gotten disqualified. He was the only one swimming. It didn't matter what his time was. It didn't matter where he finished in the race. Why? Because he was the only one qualified to run that race. And here's what's so great about what Jesus did for us. He has qualified us. Doesn't matter what we've done in the past. If you think about a race, it doesn't matter about our time, our speed. It matters that we give our life to Christ, that we make him king of our lives, that we trust in him, because he's the only way we're going to be qualified. This verse in Colossians, I love it. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Have you given your life to Christ? Or are you qualified? Because here's what I get from that verse. Giving thanks. This morning we're here to worship Jesus, to praise him as our King, to have a wonderful time of singing to him, but also to open his word and read from it and think about what God has done for us as Christians, how he loves us. Are you thankful that you've been qualified? No matter what you've done, because of Jesus and the fact that he died on a bloody cross and he rose again, when you put your life in him, you're qualified. It's a wonderful thing knowing that it's not about me and what I've done. It's about Jesus. That I come to the King and I say, without you, I don't qualify. I want to be with you, Jesus. I want to be with you. Is Jesus your Savior this morning? Have you trusted in him? Going back to Matthew 21. I want to look at verse 11. Sorry, 10. When he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves." One of the wonderful things I get from this text, and I know it's still true today, is that one of the things that makes Jesus king is that he turns tables. He overturns tables. Whatever's going on in your life, when you came in here this morning, that there may be some struggle, something major going on in your life, but you can turn it over to Jesus and know that he'll turn the tables. I know this passage is one about cleansing out sin out of a temple. It's about him really having righteous anger and coming in and cleansing out. And I thought about people in my life that I pray for and they need Jesus. But I know this, he can come into their life and overturn those tables in their lives and clean out the sin in their lives, and he can save them. I recently went to a Parchment with John and Izzy and my wife, and I saw a lot of hard men come in on a Thursday night. And as we gave them Jesus and love and just kept teaching them Jesus, kept loving on them, kept showing them who Jesus is, that he is God, that he loves you, that he died on a cross for you, and he rose again. One of the things that I saw is them, Jesus beginning to slowly overturn those tables in their lives. Just breaking down barriers. And these hardened men, by Sunday afternoon, with tears in their eyes, many of them stood up and said, "I came into this place on Thursday in darkness and blinded. But now I've been set free by Jesus and his blood." I tell you, Jesus can save anyone. Doesn't matter what they've done. He can turn tables. I think about the power that Jesus showed through Mark, the authority that he has. Whether it be a loss of a job, whether it be the C word of cancer that sometimes seems like a death sentence, whether it's financial troubles, have you turned it over to him and said, Jesus, I can't do this, but I know that if I give this to you, you can take care of me. I trust you with it. You have all authority, all power, all might. We sang that song, Mighty is our God. Mighty is our King. Do you believe that this morning? That he can turn tables in your life. Do you trust him with that as King to do those things? He changes lives. He moves mountains. He saves. And this is a very simple one. Palm Sunday, next Sunday, coming up, Easter. And we have kind of set aside that Sunday. But know this, why are we here this morning? Jesus is alive. He's alive today. We celebrate that today. We're here because he's alive. If he wasn't alive today, there'd be no reason for us to be here in this place today. He is king. He said that he was king. He became king, really. He conquered death. Rose again. He sits at the right hand of God. And we can praise him, rejoicing because he's king. I wanted to think about this. What should be our response to the king? In the story, we read what we call Palm Sunday, and him coming in and they laying the palms down at his feet and worshiping him. The first thing that I see in this text is obedience. I simply see obedience. Like I said at the beginning, he said go, and he said loosen, find. And what do? They did it. They just simply obeyed. They simply obey because why? He's king. Are you obeying God in your life? Are you obeying him every day of your life? Number two is this. It may be that you need to let go of some things. They went to someone they didn't know, and they said, we need this donkey. And they said, why? I said, because the Lord said so. What do? They let it go. Just let it go. There may be something in your life that God is saying to you, you need to let this go this morning. This is holding you back. You need to let it go. You need to trust me with it. Jesus is saying, I'll take it. Let it go. I've been saying this a lot. Worship him, praise him. Our response should always be, it's a lifestyle where we worship him every day of our life. Worship him. Praise him. Glorify him. And then I thought about this story because soon later we know that these people in the story that are praising him and worshiping him would soon turn into crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Our response should never be to quit, to turn our back on Jesus. Now I know Peter, several would deny Jesus, but later on they would get it. Later on, they would just totally get it and surrender to Jesus. Peter, from most commentaries and historians, believe that Peter died on a cross upside down because he was not willing to die like his king. He said, I'm not worthy to die like my king. And they said that he was put on the cross upside down. Horrific way to die. But he wasn't willing to turn his back or quit on Jesus again. He said never again, and he proved that with his life. I read this, maybe some of y'all read this yesterday and saw it. It kind of boggled my mind a little bit, but Amazon now offers $5,000 for employees to quit. Amazon is offering their employees, hey, here's $5,000, you just quit. If you quit, I'll give you $5,000. big write-up on it. People are going, is this good management? Is this, you know, should you do this? Why would you want people to quit? And why would you offer money? I started thinking about my life. I started thinking about other Christians. And one of the things I thought of, I said, Lord, I know Satan does that with people. He offers us things. He puts things out there. Temptations, whether it be money, whether it be something to take you away from him. Something that you would love more than Jesus. It's a temptation that Satan can do and put out there and say, look, if you just come this way. And I said, Lord, I don't ever want to fall into that. When I read that story, I thought, man, this is just a little bit to just quit. Just turn your back on. Let us never quit or turn our back. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm just talking about walking away, getting tired of it. People quit church. They get out of his will and they say, you know, I just can't do it anymore. Why? They get frustrated. Satan can come in and say it's okay, and it's not. There's grace. I know that. God gives us the grace and the mercy, and we need to pray for that and say, Lord, help us to be in your will to do that. Jesus is king. Have you made him king of your life? Have you responded in obedience to him? I want to pray for us this morning. I know I'm getting done early, and that's okay. But I want to see if God may be talking to you or working in your heart this morning. Holy Spirit, Lord, we come to you and we just thank you for the fact that Jesus, you're King. Really not a whole lot much else to say, that just the fact of knowing that you're King. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning that hasn't trusted you as King, Lord, I pray that they will, that they'll make you their Savior. Lord, I know in my own life, Lord, I love you and I thank you for being King of my life, for being King of my family. And just the thought of that, some people may, Lord, realize there's some areas in their lives this morning that you're not King. And Lord, there may be something we need to let go, maybe something that we need to give you. There may be somewhere you're calling us or leading us, Lord, and we're not willing to follow. We're not willing to trust you. But you're working in our heart, Lord, to where this morning we realize that we need that. We need to let that go. We need to trust in you. And Lord, there may be some others here, Lord, that you've been king of their life a long time, and just the reminder is a wonderful worship and praise time, and they just are in their heart thinking about how the good things that you've done for them and how you've seen them through a lot. And Lord, that the storms in life have come, Lord, but you're still king through those storms. Lord, I pray that here at this church, Lord, help us to, as the body of Christ, make you king. That we'll have unity in our church. We'll trust in your power and your might. As a church, as we go forward, looking to build and move into a new building, into a new church, Lord, that we'll keep you king, keep our focus on you. Lord, I just pray that however you deal with us this morning, Lord, just work in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Just want to give a moment. I'm going to bow my head. And Kim, you keep on playing just for a minute. Amen. All right, call the ushers forward.